Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, you have reached Blog Talk Radio. The name of our show is America Health Crisis. This is your host, Paulette Young, and you'll be joined by our guest, Selena Lindsay, and anyone else that wants to come on to the show by calling in 858-769-4936 and press 1. Our hot topic tonight is opioids. With the teenagers, the things that are not known or need to be emphasized. And the questions I ask tonight is, do teenagers know not to take opioids? Do they have understanding the risk of death or overdose? Is there enough public awareness on this subject? Are you around young people or teenagers? The church folks, teenagers can fall prey to opioids also. Any youth can become prey to opioids. Join us tonight. This is our hot topic, and we have Selena. I'm your host, Paulette Young, and right now we have Selena Lindsay on the line. Hi, Selena. How are you? Hello? Okay, she'll be back in a minute. Okay. Anyway, we're going to talk about these topics tonight because right now, as you've seen in the news over and over and over again, we're at epidemic. Are we really at epidemic? Or we're more at what they call, I call it pandemic. Is it out of control? Do you even know what opioids are? And why are they even dangerous? Okay, we got Selena back on. Hi, Selena.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hello? Yeah.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead and introduce yourself to the audience.
Hi, this is Selena Lindsay, and we will be talking about a number of different things. I am an entrepreneur, retired CPA, and a number of different other things. I run several other nonprofits. So we're going to talk about some of those nonprofits and what they do in the community, and hopefully you'll be able to find out about something that's of value to you. Tonight we're going to do something a little different because we're going to start with California through Texas, and then every other show we're going to bring you more information on other nonprofits in each state in America. We'll talk a little bit more about that at the end of the show.
Okay. Well, we got a hot one. I know not too long ago in the news, a lady lost both her son, 18 and 19-year-old. She did go before Congress because you can tell me what you feel. I feel it's just not enough public awareness. There should be more awareness in the schools. Some of the teenagers don't understand. You're taking your parents' medication or opioid, period, can be dangerous. It can slow down their breathing and slow down the heart rate. Add your alcohol with it, and you're a dead man. And essentially, that is what's happening throughout the United States. Unfortunately, it is addicting. It is a pleasure drug. Let's take away the pain. But it's better than having, I guess, if you ran a marathon and all the endorphins come out. The pleasure you get from that can be deadly. That's the difference. Did you want to go ahead and say something?
Yes. Well, I think in reference to this crisis, to this, even Mr. Trump declared an emergency.
Yes, he did.
I'd like to quote where some of this information comes from. Some of you, who are near computer, you can go to https.hss.gov. Mr. Trump even declared an emergency because, number one, per the year of 2017, 33,000 people were killed, 53,000 overdosed, and these deaths that we had in 2007. And from this same rate of people, we have 3 to 6% of age 12 to 17 reported abusing opioids, and 7.3% among adolescents.
Say that again.
7.3% among adolescents and young adults between the ages of 18 and 25 years old.
So is this their parents' prescription drugs, not one given to them by doctors?
Well, correct. And we're going to go there. They reported that, and where you take your percentages from is, remember, again, I said 33,000 people were killed in the United States using opioids, and 53,000, and so that's where you do your percentages. And so 4.2% were down on heroin. Vicodin were down 10%. Mm-hmm. Deaths. Oxycontin down 5%. And now this is what's going on among 12th graders. 12th graders say the biggest problem they're having is this stuff is harder to get. Okay,
They're not dispensing it. Correct me if I'm wrong. They're not dispensing it. The physicians, some of them, as quickly as they once were dispensing opioids.
As before, correct. And so, but it's a shame when you have a 12th grader stating that the biggest problem they have is just a little harder to get. And when you have the consequences of this kind of crap, and you have between 15 and 24-year-old overdosing, and in exact numbers, if you want to do the percentages, you had 4,235 youth. And more than half of that, their deaths were from opioids. And the CDC estimates that for every death, there are 119 emergency room visits. And two treatment. And this is absolutely ridiculous.
And I feel like in those science classes and in gym classes, this is a subject that needs to be said something about it on a regular basis. The students or the young people need to understand that their bodies, they have something called, in their brains, it's called the medulla and pons. And I think when the science teacher is talking about that, she should also relate it back to the opioid drugs. But you have what they call a medulla and pons, and what that's in your brain, and it's responsible how deep you breathe, how fast you breathe. You also have opioid receptors on those body parts. So combine that with the like a synthetic drug or like opioid, it lands there, and it essentially at a certain level, you won't be breathing, not at all. And then mix it with some alcohol, you're a dead man. And it's not like everybody's equipped with that, if I'm pronouncing it right, naloxone, because that's supposed to reverse the reaction of the opioid. Everyone's not trained to do that. So even if they do CPR, you're a dead man unless you have that other drug to counteract what just took place. And they're just introducing that to the first aid classes. And it's not even, we don't even have legislation how to regulate that either. So it's a mess. And I feel so sorry for that mother that just lost both sons, 18 and 19. My thought was, did they even realize mixing the drug with the alcohol or however, or them taking it, period? Because you can take it one time and you're dead because it wasn't given to you by a doctor. How did they even get a hold of that stuff? And so, back in the day when we went to parties, we were warned about not taking certain things. I don't care how good your child is, they go to church and you think they ain't going to get into something. They're teenagers, they're young people. They all do something. Because they're not in, I think they need to be educated more on these things and what's out there.
I think some of the main problems here is, number one, understanding where these teens are getting it from. What CDC says and what the emergency room is saying, that one half of the teens they get this drug from a friend or a relative.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first place we need to start. We need to start with, number one, don't take things from your friend. Number
mm-hmm.
two, relatives keep the drugs. Don't give them to teenagers.
Yep, and don't take them from your parents.
There we go. And number three, this is something that needs to be thrown out here. We need to understand acute and chronic pain. And we need
right.
to understand that also when children have a history of mental illness with depression, these are number one signs that this should not be happening. And if we pay attention to those three or four, we would be able to have a great deal of control over what's going on with this thing. And the big number five is for kids to understand that, why do you need something that causes drowsiness, constipation, nausea, dizziness, vomiting, dry mouth, and change your mood?
Right.
My big number six is simply this, information. If any of you know someone that are having problems with opioids, with discreet, please call 1-800-662-HELP. And if you can't figure out what the help is for, that number is 662-4345. 1-800-662, that's a help hotline. That's what you need to do.
Yeah. That would make, you can slow the progression of death if you know, with them. It's one thing that something happens and no information's been given, which is, as Center of Disease Control always call it, a human tragedy, because information's there.
Well,
so I think they need to start putting the schools in the church. I think the churches have a responsibility, too. This information needs to be given to the young people. And you're supposed to be responsible adults, too.
Yeah, when you're saying that a relative or a friend is killing
mm-hmm.
young kids, this is ridiculous.
Yeah. It's
not the
problem
they're getting from. They're getting it from these guys.
If you're coming in for the first time, we're talking about opioids and teenagers or young people, you can call 858-769-4936 and press 1. We had Selena Lindsay on the line, and she always with a wealth of information. And the opioids, they make you feel good. They also kill you. And you can become addicted to it. I know my mom became addicted to Vicodin. She didn't die from Vicodin, but she was addicted to it. You couldn't take her off it. I think if she knew ahead of time, back then they didn't even tell you. It's still in its early stages as far as letting the public know about the addiction to Vicodin, which is an opioid. So, and opioids can be made from poppy plants like morphine, or it's made in the laboratory like, how you pronounce it, fentanyl? Did I say it right? Fentanyl. F-E-N-T-A-N-Y-L.
Yeah,
feel good or takes pain away, but then unfortunate thing, you get high on it and then you want more. You know what reminds me of sugar craving? You know, you have one donut, then that one's not good enough. Got to have two, then that's not good enough. Then your sugar intake gets higher and higher until you overdose on the food. Only this is a drug and it does more damage a lot quicker than food will. Food is a slower process, but I'm just saying. One take you out faster. The drugs take you out faster than the sugar will. But the end result is the same. It makes you feel good and you want more. The amount you started off with ain't enough. Okay, Michael Jackson, do you remember the medication he took that killed him? Was that fentanyl?
Fentanyl, yes.
It was fentanyl, wasn't it?
Yes, and also his friend, Mr. Prim, that, all of these guys, they won't be talking anymore.
Yeah, and I often wondered, there wasn't a lot of public information even back then. Well, by the time Prince came around, yeah, I mean, his thing, there was more information, but did they understand what it does, how it affects the medulla and the pons? I think that should be in every science class, your medulla and pons, and how you have receptors on them, and how that opioid attaches to it and stops your breathing, stops your heart, while you're busy trying to feel good. And then when you mix it with the alcohol, you're gone. Or you have too high of an amount, you're gone. So I just feel in my heart there needs to be more public awareness down to, you know, not just that it caused death. Explain to them, these kids ain't dumb. They have to take a science class. They learn talk about the brain. I just think it needs to be emphasized. Medulla, pons, opioid receptors. That attaches to it. Now you won't be breathing. I'm laughing. It's really not a laughing matter. That is what happens. And simplicity, I mean, if they made it that simple, every student out there would understand and draw a picture so they can see. They're more visual. A lot of people are. And that may, it's better to have the information than no information at all. I doubt it that 18, 19-year-old went to a party to have fun to be dead the next day. That was not their intention. They did go to feel good, but they didn't realize what they're using would have caused death. So I just think there needs to be more simple education in those areas. As simple as I just said it here on the radio.
Well, I can't emphasize enough. When you have 12-year-olds that are saying the worst thing to them is they just can't find it. You know, it's really terrible when you have that many youths that are coming up dead, when you have that many people that are showing up in the emergency room, when you have, I don't care how exotic you say our president is, the one good thing he had enough sense to say is this is an epidemic and that something needs to be done about it, that this is a crucial emergency that needs to be addressed. When you have that many 12 to 17 years old reported abusing opioids, this is something we need to take a serious look at. When you have 12 to 13 years old that can even pronounce or say the word heroin, Vicodin, Oxycontin, that's a real problem. They can't even spell how to go to the bathroom, and they can spell these drugs out. This is ridiculous. And the health consequences.
You're talking about 7th and 8th graders. They haven't
even hit high. And again, I emphasize, if any of you know someone that has a problem and they need to talk to someone, please call again. I'll give you that number, 1-800-622-4345. Again, 1-800-622-HELP. Numbers are 4345. Call, because this is a serious situation with our children, and our children are our future.
Okay, this was something I didn't understand, and maybe you can give me some light on it. Why is the highest death rate in West Virginia, Maryland, Maine, and Utah?
Well, I would probably say
I thought they'd say New York, California. No. It's those other areas, but why?
And during the winter months, they don't have anything to do. And I'm not being funny. If you look at Alaska, what is the number one thing that's killing them? It's alcohol. And
yeah.
Alcohol, a bottle of alcohol is worth, you know, $80, $90, $100. That's the difference, because they don't have anything to do, so they abuse drugs. And alcohol is their number one drug of choice.
Wow.
So all these coal states rank number one and number two in terms of these types of drugs.
But West Virginia?
Yes,
Maryland? Yeah, Maine, yeah, those are coast states. But Utah? Yeah, that's a coast state too, but
all of the ice boxes have problems.
More that you would have more overdose, but that's not the case. They said
yeah,
the
that's what they do.
In those places,
I guess they're dreaming about being someplace else in paradise. I don't know. Because they end up in paradise.
Yeah, they never wake up. That's the unfortunate thing. Yeah, I was kind of surprised.
Yeah.
I didn't look for them to say those.
It's depression. You know, they're and it's sad business, really sad business.
And the teenagers need to understand they can die by trying something once. You don't have to try something over and over again. You just put a substance in your body that your body may not accept, you know, or it goes straight to those receptors, the medulla and pons, and now you can't breathe. Unless they have that, antidote to reverse what took place, which most places don't yet. It's being included in all first aid classes now, but the problem is it's still not legislation. Who can use it? Who can get the training? I mean, that part is not set in stone yet. How are you going to get the Oxycontin, if I'm pronouncing it right?
Oxycontin.
Yeah. No, not that. The one that's used to counteract them when there is an overdose. So they can turn it around if you have the medicine on you. And it's being passed down to the layperson to give. Spell N-A-L-O-X-O-N-E. How do you say that? No. Oxynone or something.
I'm not messing with that.
Yes, if they can give that. Well, in the first aid class, that we're teaching it, but how to get a hold of it still, it's a prescription medicine. You would have to have that on you in order to give it to the person. Some of the stuff is given through the nose. There's another way you can give it an injection through the thigh, but you have to have the training in order to give it. Just like that lady that lost her two sons, she was a nurse. But I doubted if she would have had that on her to use right away, because if you don't have it, it's like any, like if you get a bee sting and a person is highly allergic, they're going to die unless you have the medication to reverse it. You can reverse it in these cases too, but you have to have that medicine, that naloxone. I'm going to pronounce it that way. Naloxone. And for 2016, we started training people to use that. But the legislation part ain't there yet either. I don't know how many people want to use it because, you know, because things can vary from state to state and city to city until we get a solid piece of legislation where there's no, you know, where things aren't going to vary like that because it's in its infancy. And it's new, even though I do the training. Nobody has the medicine. I just tell them how to use it, and there's three different ways and how it can be used. So sometime in the near future, I guess we'll have it in our classroom, the actual stuff, not just the fake showing people what to do, but actually have the actual stuff. But again, you're on American Health Crisis. You've been listening to Paulette Young and Selena Lindsay, and we're talking about the opioid crisis that we're facing here in the United States. Now, I didn't look up information for other countries, so I don't know. This is a United States thing. I'm not sure what's happening abroad, like in Europe and other places. Do you know, Selena? I don't.
No, I didn't do any homework in that direction, but I'm sure we can do another show on and do comparisons as to who's making headway and why is it that...
Table that one, because I didn't even... Normally, I do look up. I can see the global or what the World Health Organization is saying. But it does seem to be, with the emphasis on what's happening here in the United States with our youth, which is not good. I can't imagine how that mom felt. Now she's an advocate of getting information out there about what happened to her son. So she's turned a tragedy into something positive so that maybe the next mom will lose her children due to this opioid. I really believe it's just not... I think with this being an epidemic, it should be automatically the school should have picked up on it by now and talked about it in a big way, not a little way, through the gym and through the science class, through those two part of the educational system. Because kids listen to those coaches, they believe in them, and then the science class, at least they're learning about that medulla and pons instead of it just being a part of the brain, zero in on what it does. And I believe not one student would forget. Let's just make it simple, not so complex. Show a picture.
Well, I think one of the most rational ways that they can do
uh-huh.
this is the way they did it to us. They need to take these kids to a march away and let them see toe tags. That's the most dramatic way for them to understand what's going on.
Yeah, let them see all of them. I mean, lots of them, and the numbers roll after roll. And this is what happened. Or do some footage, even. Back in our time, we used to look at films. I don't know. They don't do all that. And others, it terrorized us watching those films. You
cars
know what
are
texting.
Yeah, they show them a car that's in the parking lot, and they say, this was the last text.
Yeah, I think there needs to be more of that. Because I really believe it would make a difference.
And when they can see what one pill did that didn't belong to them and was not prescribed for them, one time, just like you said, you don't know what that thing
right,
is going to do.
Time. These kids didn't take this stuff over and over again. This recent case, it's like they're gone. And they didn't set out to die, but it needs to be emphasized. One time is one time too many. Mixed with alcohol, you're gone. If they use it according to the doctor's prescription and it's their medication, that's a different story. But then still you have to follow. I've seen people take stuff. The doctor says one pill. They say, oh, that pain ain't going away. I'm taking two. Not realizing that they can cost their life. I don't know if it should be the physician's responsibility to explain things more, not just give a pill. They should be required to say something. They should be required to say, you have in your brain a medulla and pons, and it controls your breathing. You take this medicine not according to what I said, this is what can happen. Now, that took me less than 30 seconds to say, right? They should be required to do that. Is it putting fear in a person? That's healthy fear. That ain't bad fear. I mean, I better, you know, scare me rather than let me take it for granted or not understand. I really believe physicians should be required to simplify things and say it. So the client can understand it. Because a lot of time people get in trouble because there's lack of understanding. They don't understand. They think it's okay. Oh, it worked for someone else, so then they try it, and then that person's not here. Especially at those high levels. And they said most of the time they some of those opioids are prescribed for, not for chronic conditions, for like you just had surgery or there's a severe trauma, but it's not meant for long term. They say that's when it can be dangerous. And in fact, that fentanyl, they said it's more powerful than morphine, Vicodin, oxycodone. So why even give it to take it off the doggone market? Was the time it didn't exist. Why is it on the market, period, when there's other things that aren't so dangerous? And you take it off, not even exist, doesn't make sense, especially with the amount of people that have died. That doesn't make sense at all, at least not in my world. And they said, I think it was like 2.1 million became addicted.
Well, I think we're going to start to move on. We're running out of time.
Huh?
I said, I think we're going to start to move on. We're running out of time.
Oh, okay. So we've been talking about the opioids in teenagers and what some of the things, we need more education, not only in the schools, in the homes, and the doctor office. The doctors need to say something to simplify it so people, the parents, and the young people will understand. And we've had Selena Lindsay on the line, and she's got some other things to tell us about. And so we're going to use the rest of the segment for her to give you information. You may want to have a pencil and paper to jot down the following information. Okay, Selena.
Okay, we're going to start with California first and some of the good things and organizations that are doing some things here in California, and then we're going to move on as promised. Today we're going to go all the way over to Texas, and then the next time we're on the show, we're going to move from Texas to a few other states and good things that are going on with nonprofits and some of these organizations that are doing things that can help those of you that are living within the community. Number one, VeteranCareSolutions.org. That is run by LaShonda Jones. And the phone number there is area code 909-329-8288. And what they do there is they assist veterans with being able to get information, get care, and have a place to stay. If you need information and you want to talk to somebody that really knows what veterans, what's out there, what type of programs they have available, or if you have a veteran that needs a place to stay, please contact Lisa Jones at area code 909-329-8288. Next organization is called Sick and Tired of Being Sick and Tired. That's run by Kathy Braxton. They're located at 290 East B Street in Colton, California. And the phone number there is 562-313-0041. Again, it's called Sick and Tired of Being Sick and Tired. And it's run by Kathy Braxton, phone number 562-313-0041. The next organization is one of the ones that I also sit on the board. It's called Sowing Seeds for Life, located at 1350 Arrow Highway. If you need food, and we do more than just food, shoes, clothes, a lot of various different things. We also have the crafts for kids. Please call area code 909-293-7735, extension 232. And again, if you'd like to volunteer or you have a donation, we're the second largest food bank in Southern California, and also our sister food bank, which is located in Maine, which is called the Sweetened Food Pantry, and you can see what we're doing over there, too, at www.foodpantries.org, and the phone number there is 207-647-5735. And moving right along, we want to talk about the food banks in Arizona. You can go to the Association of Arizona Food Banks. They have a huge outfit over there. The phone number there is 602-528-3434. The next food bank in Arizona is called St. Mary's Food Bank Alliance. Their phone number is 602-242-3663. Again, St. Mary's Food Bank Alliance, because no one should be hungry. No child should be hungry. Please call 602-242-3663. The next one is in Tucson, Arizona, called the Community Food Bank. The phone number there, 520-622-0525. Now we're going to move into the next state, which would be New Mexico. In New Mexico, there's also an association of food, and they're located at 5840 Office Boulevard, Northeast in Albuquerque, New Mexico. The phone number there is 505-217-1066. And all of these, they do more than food. They do clothes, shoes. They help you find a job. Please, if you're in one of these states and one of these people can help you, they're open from 8 to 5 every day except Saturday and Sunday. Please call one of these numbers. Again, the next one in New Mexico would be called the Roadrunner Food Bank. And their website is www.rrfb.org. And their phone number is 505-247-2052. Again, the Roadrunner Food Bank at 505-247-2052. Now we're going to move into both North and South Texas. This one is North Texas. And in North Texas, you can go to the website, which is www.ntfb.org at area code 214-330-1396. And also, it's a friend of mine over there running things. Her name is Tricia Cunningham. She is the CEO, and it's located at 4500 North Cockrell Hill Road on Dan Morton Drive in Dallas, Texas. Again, that phone number over there is 214-330-1396. And if you're in South Texas, then you want to call this number. This is the South Texas Food Bank, and it's located at 1907 Freight Street in Laredo, Texas. And they're open again from 8 to 5 every day, except Saturday and summer. The phone number there is 956-726-3120. At the end of every show, I have my little piece of conversation that I like to make a little statement. And that statement goes like this. I choose to speak out. Because silence is consent. I am a self-proclaimed change agent. Yes, I am an agitator. I choose to be provocative. Speaking out raises tough issues. Sometimes it makes other people uncomfortable. Moreover, making some people uncomfortable is who I work hard to be. I take risks and I use myself. I tell my story and experience. I share my weakness and my mistakes. I also use me as the guinea pig. My belief is to help those that can't help themselves. I am Selena A. Lindsay. All of you within the sound of my voice, please have a wonderful evening, and I thank you for listening to our show tonight, and I look forward to having you with us again next week with our next hot topic. Good night.
Good night. We'll be on the air next week, same time, 8 p.m. Pacific time. Just call 858-769-4936 and press 1.